adjourn the meeting. All right, so today is the first day of our strategic planning committee. Les is unable to make it today. The first thing we need to do is take an action on approval of the agenda.
Do you move?
Motion that we approve the agenda.
Okay, I'll second, and all in favor? We both approve? Okay. Now it's time for public comment. Okay.
Seeing none.
Well, I've seen one, but she's kind of standing outside the door.
Oh,
neat. Okay. All right. No public comments. We'll move on to new business. Mission and vision. We have it as information items: the mission to achieve optimal health at all stages of life for all district residents. And the vision we currently have is connecting Coachella Valley residents to health and wellness services and programs through resources and philanthropy, health facilities, information, and community education and public policy. So this was the mission vision that we reaffirmed or added to or whatever during our last strategic planning 2 years ago. We did strategic planning for the district. I think Chris probably at the next meeting, or maybe we need to have it our special meeting, we need to address this vision because it talks about, you know, through health facilities and services and all of those things. So we probably need to reaffirm if is this what we see ourselves in the long run or what do we see ourselves doing? What do you think? That's the key, one of the key questions we have to answer.
Yes.
Is what do we want to be when we grow up in 10 years?
Yeah, what?
Facilities or facility less or facilities multiples or whatever. Okay.
So I guess you're saying then for the next meeting then?
The next strategic planning meeting, we probably need to...
Some options?
We need to... I think we need to make a recommendation to the board. I think this one is really a whole board discussion.
Right.
Yeah. And that's a question, do we need to have
it? But is it that you want to bring some recommendation from the committee to the board?
Well, today we didn't say any action on here, so I don't think we can take an action.
Right.
We can put it on the agenda, the board agenda, without taking an action here, though, right?
Right, yeah, if you want it on the board agenda for discussion.
I think we should have it on the board agenda that we need to have a strategic planning discussion session. And then we can plan that session.
You want that separate from a regular board meeting or a special meeting part of?
I think in between February and March, we're going to need to have a good 3-hour study session. And I don't know if all of it or part of it can be closed. Jeff has to get back to us on that.
And so you're talking with that multiple items in it, right?
Yeah, because that's the first thing we have to solve in that overarching discussion is what do we want to be? And once we solve that question as a board, then we can talk about options. Going forward for the organization.
Okay.
But we need to know if that needs to be open or closed session.
Okay. Then also, I mean, just keeping in mind too, we'll be doing at some point, probably in March, the kind of all day work session with Martin Rausch Communications, you know, for the board. Roles and responsibilities.
We can talk about that later.
Right, I'm just saying that's...
Yeah, I don't know that.
I don't know
I'm in support of spending a whole day to do that. And we have all these other things, but we'll have to figure that out. Because it's again...
Yeah, we're talking about maybe doing that on a Saturday.
Yeah.
For that.
Okay.
Anyway, just...
The board can decide. I'm not sure that is we look at all the things that we have to spend board time on in the next couple of months.
we have to pace things out. So I'm hoping he'll come back with a recommendation that doesn't necessarily include an 8-hour.
That is what has been approved by the board.
To an 8-hour.
Probably be like probably a six hour session.
So
that's what we sent out the email to do the the individual interviews, the phone interviews.
Yeah.
And then there will be then a work session that will be done, probably like a 6-hour session on probably a Saturday or so.
And that session is going to be with the goals to accomplish?
Going to be, working through, probably some of it is similar to what we're talking about here, like with, who we are, what are we going to be doing, governance types issues, roles, responsibilities of board, staff. Kind of goes back to a little bit, when we were going to do that one workshop with the communications ad hoc committee previously, but kind of more extensive, developed policies surrounding governance, related board, staff relations, etc. So
for me, so much of that is statutory. I don't understand why we're going and developing a lot of that. Maybe it's off topic right now, but there's statutes in terms that discuss how we're supposed to be governed and how decisions get made and everything. So there's policies in terms of engagement, but I'm confused as to why we would be spending time talking about governance and all of that.
Well,
there's statutes. We can communicate what those statutes are, but I just want to make sure I understand.
Okay, and we'll talk about, separate from this meeting then. You want to do that?
Okay. But in terms of the vision, we need to have a clarity on what the vision is for the overall organization and whether that has to be open or closed session, and then we go into the second discussion based on the meeting we had earlier today. So we need to answer that question and then address the vision appropriately. In terms of goals, so I wanted to bring forward that as an organization, as we're building our brand, Coachella, why one Coachella doesn't necessarily, that's actually used, I think, even by somebody else, but it doesn't necessarily define anything about healthcare. But there are programs that some, I wouldn't say entities, but areas or agencies have adopted, similar to what Carol Rogers has spoken about in the past, called the Blue Zone. And the Blue Zone, are you familiar with Blue Zone? So San Diego has got a program that's kind of Blue Zone-like that has been very successful. And they call it Live Well San Diego. And it goes beyond health care. It's more focused on determinants of health. And so they had opened it up, the invitation to invite some of us to come down and learn about their program. And this would not be just a district, this would be a county district, other stakeholders in the community that would be coming together to put together really the goals around what this kind of a program would entail. And so the county's interested in helping to launch this program. I've talked from my county role to other stakeholders and constituents that people are interested. So I wanted to bring it as a potential for the district to get involved and engaged with. And it does fit nicely with what Carol has asked about in the past around what we call that Blue Zone program. So we can do a presentation to the board about what the Live Well San Diego program is. But I think the ideal would be to have a couple people from the district attend that meeting that we're trying to put together in San Diego, so we can ask questions and learn and be more informed. So I think the Strategic Planning Committee is the right committee to do that. and include staff. And then we'll include other representatives from other agencies who may want to participate. So are you guys, are either of you familiar with the program? And so what were your thoughts?
It was from the food bank's perspective. So being a part of the California Association of Food Banks, there are several different programs like this throughout the state that we played a role in the aspect of making sure there's continuous voice at the table in regards to food insecurity and how that played such a significant role in all these other moving parts.
Yeah.
Right. So,
do you think the food banks in Coachella would be interested in participating in something like this if we did it for Coachella?
So for when we did it, was so like Coachella. Every area has an actual food bank, and then there's food distribution sites. So when we were participating, it was the actual hub, so the actual food banks and not all the small mom-pop nonprofits, because they didn't have the stability to ensure whatever initiatives that were being taken on, it had to have been a cultural shift kind of thing.
Yeah. So did you? So you guys did it in San Diego?
So I was one of my colleagues. James was heavily played in the San Diego aspect, but there's ones throughout the whole state. There's a couple up in Northern California that are doing. There's several hybrids of it, and it's just everybody's kind of figuring out what their niche is.
Yeah. So the thought I had is that the homeless piece plays into it because it's actually multifaceted. It's like multidimensional. It's got safety, education, food, you know, stability, public health, access to care. They look at a lot of different determinants, and then, you know, you bring these constituents together and form kind of a structure where people are giving input and then try to collaborate and fill in gaps, identify gaps. If there's overlap, you know, you can't tell somebody, well, you can't provide that service and you can't provide that service, but you try to redirect or get people to redirect some of their services to where there might be gaps. And so so I think before the whole board would discuss it, we'd want the district staff and the committee to go down and evaluate and come back with a recommendation. And if whether or not the district feels it's something that they want to get behind. And so I've talked to Tom Kirk from CBAG. He's connected me with Heather from Lift to Rise.
Yeah, Heather Vecchione.
Yeah.
So they're already doing basically a poverty collaboration. So the biggest thing is in any of this work, what they've seen is you have to kind of really look at your low-hanging fruit, because it's all driven on the collective impact model of low-cost changes. So like you're saying, it's who are the key people at the table that are willing to move the quickest, but also there's not a significant financial cost to do that, so then you create the momentum around it. Yeah. So Lift to Rise right now is focused on housing, health tied to children's obesity rate, and the immigration status. That's kind of their real three focus areas. And under the, so the immigration is kind of like a little sub pot, and then there's basically just connecting people to resources. So the team here is already involved in their community action network meetings, and also I'm still involved in the executive team.
And what about the county? What role is the county playing?
They're at several of the meetings. So they're very engaged on several different levels.
Yeah, is Greg there?
Yeah.
Okay. Because when I talked to him, he and me and Greg talked a bit about it, but he didn't talk about how engaged he was.
They're all engaged. So from Manning's office to housing to homeless, there's several departments that are involved in these meetings. School districts are involved. Key community-based organizations are involved.
So do you think they would perceive this as something that could evolve and augment what they're doing, or could the district get behind more of what they're doing and we adopt, you know, their mantra? I mean, I'm looking at ways, because now that we are district-wide, we need to be looking at programs.
I
don't want to reinvent the wheel, but I want us to be looking at other things than, you know, kind of small one-offs that we have. I want to look at a strategic opportunity.
Right. So I don't see why you couldn't get behind them. I mean, that's, they're kind of doing exactly what you're saying, is that they're focused on lifting all Coachella Valley residents. I think the challenge at this given point in time is they're still very new. So their strategies, they're still very brand new. And so even though they've been around 4 years, they actually haven't been an official nonprofit for 7 months now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It actually was incubated at the food bank. And then it rolled out from there. So, and in that 4 years, what had transpired is also because of the way the funding was brought into this equation, there was a shift in the actual aspect of how the collaborative was going to actually roll out its initiatives. And so we had kickstarted it before the funding source had changed hands. And so then we had to do a dynamic shift and work with Annie Casey Foundation and re-go through their process. So that actually kicked us back about a year. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, right now they are, their biggest lift right now is access to housing. And
which is what we're trying to do.
Right, exactly. And we're at the table, and that's why we're at the table, and that's why we're in partnership with them. And so we're working hand in hand on a regular basis. So one of their key people on that team, which is called their travel team, who is also with the county, was also at our leadership table for homelessness. So that's why we're constantly connecting everybody up. So we're all having the same conversation, but being very focused on the different end result, which ultimately is more housing.
So I don't think that the board has had any, I'm not recalling the board's had any kind of reports or how we're connected with Lyft.
Because there's nothing, so they don't have an actual, they're only just re-engaged their teams, well, their action committee meetings that just happened Monday.
Okay.
So it's only, so we're still just starting to scratch the surface and starting to get, let's put it, they're starting to unveil the work plan. Now what they do have is a platform, an online portal where it really starts to show different data sets that was finally released. That unfortunately got delayed quite some time, but that's now been released.
Okay.
So a lot of their energy is there. Now they're working with, the Association of Low-Income Housing Builders to work with their platform to now identify where exactly all our housing. So we've even had Megan, our policy person, she has created a list for us of all the low-income housing and basically when they expire, the number of units, the actual cost of investment to create those homes. So we are staying engaged and trying to be at the table, but ultimately we are waiting for them to put forth, okay, here's what the actual action plan is. So on a side note, but very similar, so we're also heavily involved with working with what used to be the Building Healthy Communities down in the Coachella Valley and also through the California Endowment. We've also started playing a key role at the Census 2020 numbers. And when you think about the social determinants of health, one of the biggest things is here in the Coachella Valley, we have a significant undercount. And so we're actually, Chris, we've been talking with Chris about, we're actually getting, once there's a baseline plan, where we're planning to bring it to the board to start presenting, okay, this is what's going on, this is who all the players are, here's the plan here in the Coachella Valley. Because I don't know if when you came on, Jennifer, if you were given the history of how the healthcare district played a significant role in the ACA outreach and the actual significant increase in people participating. So we've been kind of thinking of staff as along that same sort of guideline, because it's really going to take a huge lift of our CBOs to really maximize our count in the hard to reach areas because of the trust factor. Because there's going to be potentially a citizenship answer.
Right. Bigger so, this year than in many other years.
Right. So there might be something to say is really understand, you know, kind of get, do the tour to kind of see what's possible, but then circle around and talk about what is. What is already happening throughout the Coachella Valley, and is it really totally taking what San Diego's doing, or is it taking what we already have momentum on, and what's missing?
Yeah, so that essentially is the goal, is to identify what's possible. You know, they've had some really significant outcomes, some very positive outcomes, and been a very successful program. And so what are the elements that they've done? What is it that we can do to augment here, whatever is either existing, or can we take a more leadership role? As a district, we certainly have funding, you know, to be able to achieve those same, you know, goals and objectives. And so to the extent that that group is ongoing, we've got staff representation, but no board representation on that, on that group,
Yeah, it's because it's all very much, there's nothing concrete and evident at this point. What we're hoping is within the next 30, 90 days, there's going to be something where the board can actually go, okay, this is where we see our role being. So it'd be like, kind of like the CBAC homeless thing, right? It's kind of like chicken and egg, who's going first, right? So I guess the question would be to this committee is, what do you want to be, the chicken or the egg? Do you want to be the one driving it, or do you want to be supporting it?
Well, so I see the healthcare district being a driver in healthcare. And we've been a driver in homeless, you know, we funded that. We were the ones about that program going for the matching funds and everything. So I see us very much being kind of in a leader role. And I look at this as we try to brand or rebrand the district and help have the community know who we are, that's something that we can do. We can convene people, we have funding. So that's how I see it. I don't know, what do you think?
I think in spaces like Alianza, Lift to Rise, the Clinton Foundation Initiative, like there is very little room to lead and drive because they have a staff, they have funders, they have people that back them up that are also asking them to deliver certain things, I've been part of the BHC space, the Clinton Foundation space, and it's very good for smaller nonprofits to be in there and share ideas, and it's good when you're being convened, but now as like the district role, I don't think that's, I think Lisa's right. I think we have to let staff figure out, let staff listen and let Lift to Rise figure out what they're going to be doing, because they have their funding, like it does come down to dollars and cents, how far they can go, how far they can stretch their staff, how far they can set their action networks to go, and then what is actually realistic. And I think once we get the answer of what is actually realistic, then we can choose to be drivers or not, because we also have funding, because we also have staff and we have resources and relationships, and we can convene people as well. So I would, that would be my recommendation. Keep listening 30 to 90 days if there is something that can come back to us that we can move on, participate in, something that makes sense that we can potentially drive, okay. But if there isn't and it really is just something that's getting off the ground now, something that's being tried again, okay. And I think at the same time, we do consider what's going on in San Diego, even if it's just a learning, something to learn off of, to go do research on, something that we can build a base off of. Okay, this is what it looks like. We have a good example. What else does it look, how else does it look like in places like Stockton, who also have blue zones?
Yeah, and so as we look at the organizations that you mentioned, some of them, as I've been to their events, there's not a lot of outcomes. And so I've been on the board for 2 years. The first session that I had in our strategic plan was about outcomes. Where's the outcomes from all the investments that we've made? And so, you know, I'm really looking for hardcore, let's move the dial on things, and not a lot of action, you know, a lot of tactics and a lot of like convenient meetings. So when I see an organization that's been in whatever space they've been in, they've been trying to get off the ground for 4 years, and now they're just now a not-for-profit and they're just now re-engaging. I think as a government entity and the ability to put something behind it, you know, that might help lift them, Lift to Rise even higher than they are. But I want to really look at, you know, the leadership, the constitution, the governance. And I would say we should have a board member on that, you know, committee, that it's not just a staff issue, but that we need to really get, we have 7 board members now, we need to get behind these and not just, you know, wait for reports, but we need to be engaged.
Right. We'll have to also, one thing that we probably should get council's input because of the AB 2019, because we have to be very careful because of our grants, the boards, kind of their hands are more tied than ever before when it comes to our funding. So we really should get some guidance from Jeff on what would that look like moving forward. Just to make sure.
Yeah, well, if we have staff there too, I mean, it's
built in. So the AB 2019 shows that under the aspect of technical assistance can be done by the staff. Uh-huh. And so you can, under that, we've had, when it first came out before it was finalized, we had talked to Jeff about it, okay. But we still don't have a really clear understanding of how the elected officials can be engaged. So, and when you do,
especially if there's some like grant funding and
right.
That sort of thing that's associated.
We have Carol on the CBAC homeless committee.
Right.
And so, but we're giving money directly to the cities.
No. We don't give money directly to the cities.
Well, no, we're not. We're giving it to Path of Life and they're matching.
Actually, it's not even to Path of Life. It goes to CBAC, but it's not a grant. It's done through a MOU process. But right now, as it stands, we're still trying to figure out this year coming. What was presented in December to the board was actually our match would go to the foundation and then help support really looking at RFPs, just like you're saying, with hard outcomes attached to it, but not just to one entity, to multiple entities. And so we're still trying to figure out that minutia with CBAC right now.
Okay.
But so that, so basically they've never been a recipient of a grant. Now, you do have the standing grant on, or MOU on the trail, but
CB Link.
Right, but Carol has no tie to that part of CBs, right?
Mm.
Okay.
But we definitely need Jack to really, because one of the big policies, you know, like tied to this, the consultant that is, we were, you know, in the program committee, they're gonna have to really spell out their grant policy on exactly how board members can be engaged with the community of nonprofits and things like that. It, don't get me wrong, it's not that you can't go to events and things like that, it's just, can you be in a power seat?
In the governance role.
Right. Is that a conflict? And how does that work? So we just need
him to... There's ways to do joint ventures, so we can do
wholeheartedly
joint ventures with organizations.
Right.
And so that's the kind of...
Right.
That's the kind of discussion I've...
Right. So LIFT would be really challenging because it would, what we don't have in our policy, but where I'd be a little concerned this year, they don't have audited financials. They're running through a fiscal agency right now. So until nonprofit has audited financials, we have rules in the health code, we cannot fund them. I don't know how that works with the fiscal agency. And I was talking to Donna about this. She doesn't recall it being done elsewhere.
But we can do an MOU.
We definitely can do an MOU.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing is really understanding what it is they're doing. So like Karen had explained, is you've got Building Healthy Communities, which is now Alentia, who's doing a lot of work down in the East Valley. You still have the Clinton Health Initiative in different sections. We still from
who's running that now that Trish left? I mean, is there any?
I can't remember his name.
Exactly.
It'll come to me. But but what you still have, for example, is there's still a senior collective that's still meeting that actually both Annalisa and Megan have been going to when it was tied to the homelessness. So we made sure when we were doing the investigative work on precariously housed, we understood it from the senior population. So there's tons of groups. I think it's really mapping out what all these groups are doing and then having the board go, you know, this really could use a lift and we think it's gonna have, like you said, is here's the outcome we're trying to achieve and this is what we think investing in that is going to create.
Yeah.
You know, just, so I'm 100% behind the Lift to Rise as the housing initiative, but their goal is 9,000 homes in 10 years. So when we did some of our policy research, as an example, there's 9,000 existing low-income housing units. There's a good percentage of those that are coming up for expiration from the tax credit. So they're focusing on new. So like you're saying, could then maybe our role be focusing on the existing and maintaining the existing? Right? So same long-term, what's the ultimate? The ultimate goal is having housing for everybody, but taking this huge, you know, elephant in the room and each taking a section of it and really creating something amazing.
Yeah.
Those are opportunities.
So that kind of a wrap program,
right.
Who's gonna do that? for.
Well, that's just, so could you find another grouping that's prepared to take that on? Or does that become where the board, so there's a great example in this homeless initiative. The conversations right now with the CBEC homeless being at Tom, Greg, Cheryl, and Christy, actually, Halstead has been in these conversations, is does CBEC homeless committee evolve to getting out of the minutiae of the everyday stuff in homelessness and really start thinking about policy? And so the policy meaning each city embracing the concept is, we have this low-income housing inventory, how do we maintain it? What do we need to do? How do we incentivize them to keep going? Because these ones that are maturing out in 30 years, if they're privately held, there's, it's really, really tough to keep them into the inventory. And so we're gonna start, that's gonna really start coming up fast now.
Yeah, and so I mean, that's a lot of work around one initiative. Are there three or four other goals as an organization that we need to be looking at? And rather than us working with multiple entities, my hope was that we could form one kind of overarching, like live well entity that these organizations come and work together.
Right.
And so if that's a role the district can play or not, to me that would be something that we would want to evaluate.
Right.
You know, because there's a lot of them out there, and they can, there's a lot of convening going on.
Right.
But I'm not seeing a lot of I'm really not seeing a lot of results. And it's not like it's getting, you know, reported here or getting reported that there's this really amazing thing going on in Coachella.
Right.
It's just a lot of entities all fighting for the same dollars.
Right.
A lot of events that are, you know, marginal, that are raising marginal money that's not going to have an impact. So I'd like to see us play a role in helping to write Coachella to a place where we're having high impact. With all the money that's being spent. There's a lot of money being spent, but I'm not just not seeing impact down here.
So I agree. And I believe in like the strategic plan, and I don't think we have to do everything, and I don't think we have to invite everyone. I think the homeless initiative work that the district has started is a very good litmus test for what we can and cannot do. Do we have the capacity to invite many other people under our umbrella? The conversation we were having last time, right? Does this need to live outside of the district? Does it need to live inside of the district? I was going through the strategic plan now more thoroughly. I think there's a lot of really good ideas in here that we do need to execute. We can't just keep doing research and asking other people, will you come under our umbrella, or moving money around. Like, at some point, these things need to happen in order for us to be able to help other people cover the homeless situation and the food desert situation and the lack of reproductive health care in the valley, right? Things like that. So I think,
and we did this because I brought it up at a meeting that we didn't have one.
I think it's great. There's a lot.
We have a lot there, but we don't have a lot of mechanisms to execute it, is what I'm trying to say. We need a mechanism to execute it.
Right.
And having three or four staff here working on executing all that is just not going to cut it.
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to say, is we've got a great strategic plan and vision. We invested, we got community input into. Now we need a vehicle to execute on it. And I don't see that we have that.
So if I may, with utmost respect, so an example that you brought up, Karen, at the last meeting is there's, from our side of the table, it looks like there's a divide on, well, people think we're gonna own homelessness versus we need to take a lead role. It's kind of like your conversation about this vision statement. Who are we and what are we gonna do? Is it such a bad thing that we're gonna take a lead role? Maybe not, if we're gonna actually get behind it and create change. So all I'm saying is, I think it's something that the board really has to get behind, is going, okay, but what does being a leader look like? Meaning, you know, the infamous driving from behind or being out front and asking people to join on and really come to the table with it. It's no different at the CBEC Homes Committee. It's a divide. Mm-hmm. Half want to do something and half want to do something else.
And that's politics in general.
Wholeheartedly.
So we have to kind of just move on something. And so to the extent that we give direction that we want staff to focus time on executing the strategic plan, there's a lot of initiatives there.
Right.
But we don't have vehicles to execute on them. And so could we form a vehicle that is clear and the reports are coming into the board and this is moving forward, and we are a driver because we're funding a majority or a lot of it, or providing staff support to drive it. You know, you're doing these inventories, you're doing this other work. So that's a driver, you know.
Right.
We've got a lot of collaboratives that are out there that are just meeting and making, you know, a lot of noise.
Right.
But as I look at it, what I came on the district board to do is to improve healthcare, or improve health outcomes, really.
Right.
And so, so once we decide, we have to really decide, are we gonna be in the business of directly delivering healthcare, or are we gonna be in the business
right.
of driving how healthcare is delivered? And those are that's gonna be a big question for the board to grapple with. And we have to come up with that. And then the how-to is gonna be critical. And the how-to is, do we joint venture with the county and lead an initiative? Because the county has a majority of these sources. There's other organizations that should be at the table, you know, the FQs, the food banks. You know, there are little things that some of these entities are grappling with that can have a huge impact on the health of people, that if we knew collectively, you know, well, it's all about transportation, really. People can't get to the doctor because there's no transportation, might solve a humongous problem, and we just don't have that information. And I don't see it coming from HARP. So I want to make sure that we have a vehicle so that the strategic planning committee, we need to grapple, you know, we need to grapple with that. How do we get to these outcomes? And, you know, now we've got the plan. I don't want to redo the plan. I just want to execute it. And with all due respect, I'm tired of spending time on policies and procedures and all the other stuff that we've been doing for 2 years. We got a plan. Let's really get, hopefully get down to, like, making some of this happen. You know, we need to get the papers, we need to get the media involved, we need to get the health plans involved, IHP, United, Molina, they all have money and they all have big stakes in this market. There's employers, we've got these large, you know, entities with renewable energy interests, you know, so it's really about creating a more vibrant economy and a thriving community. And I think as the district board, you know, we want to be able to, if we go out and people ask, well, what do you do, who are you? Well, we're working on homelessness, and we're working on this, working on that. If we're able to brand something, say, well, we're leading the One Coachella, or Live One Coachella, that becomes the umbrella, to me that's something that people can get their arms around. But, you know, I don't know, does that make any sense to you?
It makes sense.
And I'm also here to do it, right? Figure it out. There's a lot of really good things on here mm-hmm. that need who's doing it, what's the actual concrete step that we're taking.
Yep.
There might be way too many things on here, right? And we made today, actually, strategy 3.6 on district foundation visibility and transparency shouldn't live in this district, in this strategic plan this year, right? But I don't know. This time or sometime soon in this committee, I think we do need to sit down and put some actors to this and some concrete goals and steps of what we want to accomplish.
Yeah.
With staff to see if it's even possible to accomplish some of the ideas we have.
Well, I don't think with our staff alone we can. I think we need help.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we do that? You know, and we have we have asked in the past for reports on how we're moving towards the strategic plan. And I think having just leaving it to an executive director to try to execute the whole strategic plan is wishful thinking. So we need to engage, we need to, you know, be clear, if we divide and conquer, each staff member takes on a lead role in one of the pillars. But it has been 2 years, and there's a lot of time and energy spent. We heard from the community, we went through hundreds of possible things. I don't want to redo all that work.
Yeah, I don't think we have to.
I just want to see us create a vehicle for execution of this.
and I haven't heard or seen that yet. So we're getting bits and pieces and spending a lot of time and energy, but how are we going to execute on this? So do you guys have any sense of how we're going to execute on this strategic plan?
I mean, I think you're right that there's a lot of meat to all of this, and it's not something that just current staff can do. And I think that was kind of felt and believed, but, you know, we need to develop who are the outside partners that would need to be part of that, and consultants, whatever, that plays into that.
But so we're driving, this is our plan, and we're driving it. So does Lift to Rise play a role here? Or do we join them? Do we say, okay, that's covered, we're gonna sponsor them, and that's, so I think we need to go through that process. Mm-hmm.
Yep, with every
initiative. So do we need to bring in an outside resource to help go through that and to do that work? Or do we have staff that can do that work?
Well, I believe that that's part of this committee, then, that we would tackle each item through here, and...
But I don't have those
items. That's what we need.
So, somebody's got to come together and bring a list for each of the strategic planning items, and, you know, say who's doing what in the community, how's it being approached, where are their goals, what are their needs. Do we have people on staff that can do that?
Do you think we do?
Well, I think it's kind of tied into this. You know, this was kind of, you know, what was given way when I first started, kind of this is what needs to get accomplished. Right.
This is what the board actually recommended the staff put together for the implementation of the plan during the time that the prior CEO was here.
Yeah, right. So Kay and I worked on this, Karen, to kind of try to track. But it's a lot of stuff. And in terms of timelines, we didn't put timelines in the strategic plan.
Well,
so.
This
has timelines.
Somewhat. Timeline does coincide quite a bit to the strategic plan.
Right, it's right from the strategic plan.
So it might be, you know, that we work with this and determine if there's some viability to this, what we need to expand on.
Needs a major update.
Right. So, this goes through April, June, 2018-19.
It's a dynamic document. It should, quite frankly, be updated every quarter because things change.
Right.
You know, when this was created, this was before Jeff came and said we couldn't do any outreach for expansion, right? And so there's a lot of stuff in here that was null and void because of that.
Right.
So, for example, I'll just use the grant structure. So we've brought the grant structure, two different structures, twice to the board. The first one they wouldn't go forward with, which was to implement the whole strategic plan as far as creating outcomes and making sure our investments were in a good place. So then we brought through a second structure that was temporary, but still not in a position to be fully implemented. So that's what we're hoping the program committee. So I think what we have to do is we have to figure out what things can the staff go out and do. So to answer your question, do we need to hire more staff? It has to first be done under the pretense of what things can be done that the board will want to take extra time to go through versus that's just a report out and the board's not going to slow down that effort. Like you're saying, you're 100% right. Allocate who are the actors for each of these sections, but then some of those actors are the board or the committees or, you know, whichever, instead of it necessarily being staff. So for example, everything to do with programs and that should be the program committee that's going to take on all that aspect so that can keep rolling the way it needs to roll to accomplish what you're ultimately trying to do. Different avenues, so there's a whole section in here about facilities. Once again, so that's a board program committee that's really going to push it. So I don't necessarily think it's an all staff. I think it's a partnership of staff supporting the board committees, but then what board committees are really owning a subsection,
right?
Which, based on the bylaws, that is the purpose of this meeting, is to ensure that this whole unit is working together to push along the strategic plan.
So can you guys, do you guys have the staff to put that together for us?
I think that's something. So I think Chris and I could probably take bypass this now. And what Chris and I could do, I'm speaking on your behalf, so shut me up.
Strategic plan.
We could go back to these originals, and then what we could do is we could start identifying what's well on its way. So like the communications and outreach, that's already on its way. Like today we're going to be looking at logos because we're now a whole district. There's things though that absolutely need the committee to take it to the next level. So what we can do is identify the committee and then who the point person staff-wise would be to support that committee.
Yeah, so I think that's where I want to get, because you can't have three people responsible. We need to have a staff person,
right,
who, you know, the committee has to vote. But the committee's not going to do all the research. I mean, there'll be some decisions made, but staff has to support that committee. And there's a lot of work to support it.
Right.
So the question was, if you guys can pull that together for us.
Definitely.
And I think you're right. This is very outdated, and I wasn't really pleased with the whole overall format. Anyway, we need one big Gantt chart.
So we did a Gantt chart. I have several Gantt charts. I already actually have an active Gantt chart that's tied to this. But it was tied to this because that's what we were asked to do. But it's the same as when we did it for the grants. We were told basically it's way too much. So I have it all, like I have project management and everything already in play, but we were guided previously that it was too much. So I think we have to decide who's going to be looking at that. Is that the strategic committee?
I think we need to have a mechanism, and then I think each committee needs to have their Gantt chart. So as a board, we need to have milestones. If we have a Gantt chart milestone, that would be really helpful. Because to give that level of detail, we basically convert this into a milestones Gantt chart. It could be 3 years, it could be 5 years. And then on the Gantt chart, you can say whatever color corresponds to whatever committee.
Right.
And then whatever staff person is responsible for that committee. And then if they're gonna need some support, like for homelessness, we need support, we need more staff. We've already figured that out, right? And you're making a proposal for that. So that's the kind of stuff that we need to bring at the high level board. And this committee needs to make sure that the process is working.
I just wonder, is that instead of it all being in one, I'm trying to think, is because you know, Jennifer, from your lean stuff and that sort of thing, that has to be somewhat dynamic. So that's a very large document to have all those programs in one Gantt chart. I'm wondering if each committee has to have its own Gantt chart, and when they're making significant changes, that's what's brought to the whole board saying, you know, we originally thought we were going to do this, but now, so let me give you a great example of that. So in both our studies, independent studies in regards to mental health beds, what we need, okay? Since those two studies been done, we've now got, Acadia just got approved with 60 some odd beds. So that can shift very quickly of what that group's gonna be focused at. Then that kind of shift saying, okay, we're no longer gonna be focused on this, we're now gonna focus on here, that's the updating to the whole board. With ultimately the outcome is X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, milestones versus detail. I don't need any detail. We just need, what are all the goals on the strategic plan?
Right.
You know, and we have, 15 maybe goals?
Right.
So you need to have the goals listed, the committee, and then big bars that, you know, by milestone, you know, like we're going to do that in 2019, that's going to be in 2020. And then I think it will help, you know, we have 7 district members and we all need to get speed on everything that's going on, to hear from the committees that tie to the strategic plan. So rather than just committee reports, we need to say, here's our goals that we're working on as a committee, and here's our progress. And that's what the reports should be. That's my opinion. So it's meaningful. We can tie it back because everything needs to tie to our strategic plan, and then we can start seeing outcomes. And these outcomes weren't even, I wasn't satisfied. These are very process-oriented outcomes. I wasn't satisfied with this.
Well, a lot of this is no longer valid. Like, you may want to consider not doing a new strategic plan, but identifying what's now null and void, i.e. everything to do with expansion, other than the funding that's needed to fund it.
Right. So that's enough data you guys can bring to the board, and you can say, well, here's the Gantt chart. Here's the things that have been accomplished. We can check those off. Here's the things that have changed. Here's the focus areas. And then as a board, we might say, is there something really missing? I know mental health was, you know, something that we haven't really been able to do much about now that we've got 80 beds, but that's still some time away.
Yeah, no, we're still heavily working on the consultant, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
For the mental health.
So those are things that we should just have. To me, the committee reports go check, 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 and we can see our Gantt chart.
Right.
And we can see our progress. And if you guys are hitting a roadblock, then we know.
Right.
You know.
Where do you want the initiatives to lie? Because those right now are in limbo.
Which initiatives?
Homeless and behavioral health. There's not a committee that's focused on those initiatives.
Well, to me, all that should be programs.
So you want it under programs. Okay, that's fine. Just want to make sure.
Yeah, I think anything that has to do with grants or the program committee.
Funding,
you know. But the whole board needs to hear about it.
Oh, for sure. No, I just want to know who's going to set the timelines.
That's programs committee recommendation. And so strategic planning committee, you know, we need to make sure that we have a process in place that's executing the strategic plan. I'm interested in this committee looking at our marketing communications and branding, those kinds of things too, because we don't have a marketing committee, right? So we can do that here. I don't know who you think is that the thing.
I think it's fair.
Yeah. But if we go back to a Live to Rise or wellness, I mean, as we look at being the driver in the community of the healthcare strategic plan for the healthcare district is which we are.
For us, not for other people or what other people are doing or what their goals and missions are necessarily.
We don't want to,
whatever ties into this.
We don't want to drive them, but if what they're doing is a support mechanism, and if we can convene and collaborate and we can say, you know, we have funding, does one of you want to pick this up? Or there's a gap over here we don't have funding for, but is somebody else going to pick that up? Because we can't fund every single thing. Somebody needs to do that, and I just don't see that being done in this community. I don't know that. I hear a lot of people talking about different initiatives and funding very specific programs, but there are some simple solves to some of the problems that the Valley has that nobody's really working on, because it's not exciting. Sexy, you know. So, but we need to know what those elements are. You know, what are the top health concerns in the Valley? What is your perception or feelings? Like, what are the top health issues in the Valley?
Depends on who you ask. But if you ask me, right, anything that has to do with people's heart, so high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, all of that. But the underscore to that is that people do not go to their doctor routinely when asked to go to the doctor. So there's a lot of different factors into that: transportation, gender, age, access, language, right? So you can talk about people's physical health, but just not hitting their doctor when they're supposed to, right? It decreases people's longevity of life.
And not having doctors, we don't have doctors out here.
And then that's the other problem, right? Access to who?
Right.
Doctors,
so if we got to the root cause,
where
should we drive that?
But it's different in different areas.
Yes.
So that's the key, is when you've expanded down to the east. So what?
It's worse in the east, but access to.
No, not necessarily. It depends on where you're located. So for example, in some parts of the east, meaning from so let me clarify. So if we're not including our new district area, if you're talking Mecca Thermal and Oasis. So if you're in Mecca, you have way more access than if you're in Oasis and Thermal, right? And even the subsection where Borrego is, they're mobile, but they're not getting access because not because it's not there, because there's an issue with ICE. So that's down that end of the valley. Now, what we do know is when ICE was starting to really come up in the last 4 years, we actually saw families move from the far eastern portion up into THS and in places like that. So based on all the history and from what I'm understanding through Donna is, there's no longer a shortage classification in Desert Hot Springs because of all the work Desert Healthcare District did. So you can't say it's because they
shortage of
doctors, yeah. The key would be is you would have to really identify. So based on, so what we're already starting to do is go into the community, into the new district boundaries, and having some listening sessions to hear from community members from different demographics, from Indian Wells all the way through down to Meco Isis, to hear so we can bring back to the board, okay, we've kind of given them a high level of what the district is, we've given them a seed plant, because like you said, Karen, you're very right about zoning, right? And Karen knows all too well from all the work we've done with building health communities, don't meet for the sake of meeting.
Right.
There's got to be, something's got to come out of it. And so starting to get people ready to understand is there will be an opportunity in the near future to come to these meetings regarding zoning. So they can play a role in not just ultimately voting for their elected official, but also identifying where they see those boundaries should be.
So that's exactly what I'm recommending,
right,
that we do, that we're going to be the convener and the driver, and we're going out and listening to the community.
Right. So it's already, we're already doing it.
Right.
It's
can
already
we just brand it? Can we brand it? That's what I say. Can we brand it and have the district help be seen as the organization that's helping to bring this?
Well, I think we're already kind of going down that road. I mean, it's all, if you read the communications and marketing, it's already built into that, that the board approved. Mm-hmm. And it was about representing ourselves as, I'll let Will explain, but really the key convener, the place of information, right, on health and well-being for community residents from one end of the valley to the other. So if you want to kind of add on that, Will.
That's definitely in the plan, and with everything that we're doing, even from the nonprofit of the week or month profiles, I make a point to stress that it's a district grantee, that we are community partners. And my understanding is traditionally there's been some reluctance from the board to sort of own that, and that's one of the things that I hope that we can talk about, the logo and the branding, because I think what we're going to present is really going to challenge us to take ownership of leading a lot of these initiatives, whether it's the homelessness initiative,
yeah,
or mental health. So it's,
well, and that's what I'm saying we should be, I think, like, that's what I'm saying.
You are wholeheartedly, I think, but we're such at the ground zero level where we really need to go into the community and understand all the significant difference in needs. So for example, a lot of stuff that we've done in the past years through grants have always been to serve the underserved or the low income families and things like that. But as you probably well know, Jennifer, in the area of behavioral health, we've now reached out as we're trying to find a consultant. We keep hearing the same thing. The real people that have issues with mental health and behavioral health is access to those that have private insurance, have no access in comparison to what those on Medi-Cal have. So we need to understand that. How does that look? What's that per capita number actually look at? Doesn't mean we don't want to help serve the under, you know, the low income that, but what are we also doing for those that have private insurance and just can't get access? So they're self-medicating.
Yeah, so I think back to what I was trying to frame, maybe it wasn't being as clear. So as the organization that's doing that inventory,
right,
and as we connect it to our strategic plan, and as we convene the community, and being that driver, we have the branding of the district, which I want to take a look at. But I think, and I ran a branding and PR firm for 7 years and won national awards. So I'm trying to step back and say, hey, but you know, knowing how things will live and breathe in the community. If there's a way to pull it into a brand that's not just about we're branding the district, but we're branding a movement.
Right.
Okay, and so all the work, right, that we're doing, you guys are doing a great work. I'm not contesting
any
of
that.
I'm trying to put a wrapper around it,
right,
that will help gain awareness of the district and and so that the board can say, you know, yes, we're, this is our movement.
Right.
You know, it's really a movement.
Right.
And we've got a lot of work and time and investment, and I want to make sure that the staff is getting the full support that you need, and as we need more staff to do right. some of this work, because it's a lot of heavy lifting, you know,
right.
and you know, and getting people with, you know, the healthcare credentials and the things that might help from a public health perspective
right.
would be great too. So anyway, so that was kind of like the Live Well San Diego model. They just did a great job branding it.
And right. So no, and I agree with
looking
you.
Looking for something like that.
Right. I think what our intent was through these starting this focus group process and then circling back and meeting with, you know, groups and getting them to bring their friends and that sort of thing was to be able to go down that road so they own it. You know, so
they, meaning who?
The community. The community owns this movement.
Yeah, we want right. yeah, we want that, but right. we need to put the money behind and
well,
staff.
Exactly. Behind. Right. Exactly.
So in that frame of thought, two things come up to mind. Have you seen the HARC survey poster thing, that the flyer that they made? Mm-hmm. Has their information at the top, and then in the bottom it says who all is involved with it. It's very good because it lets people know these are all the organizations right. that are behind this, asking you to do the one same thing. Branding, right? All of these right. organizations are behind this one brand.
That's what I'm trying to get.
Right.
So yeah. one, I think that's like very smart of them. The second thing, there's already a lot of nonprofits in the East Valley. So as you go into these forums, it would be smart of us to incentivize through funding a small grant out of those $350,000, I think is what it is, a year to the East Valley. $300,000, small mini grants to some of our nonprofit friends to invite their people out. So we are going to hand you the flyers ourselves. We want you to go out there and flyer. One.
And so I'm sorry. What do you want them to do with it? The money.
So we would want people like KDI, Kunkui Design Initiative,
yeah.
who is leading work in North Shore to build parks, like
uh-huh.
physically build parks out of nowhere, miracles, to hand these flyers out. One, to their constituency and the people they're
yes.
working with, but two, to also come in the way HARC did in this sort of sense, and we're all coming in as a Desert Healthcare District. We all want the same access to health.
Right.
We want you to help us out. These are some nonprofits that have been building out there for years and years on end, who do it during the summer in
right.
120 degree weather, right? So it's in the electoral work, it's called buying people's list. You buy their list
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
would a call
right.
and win
exactly.
elections and
right.
whatever else. Same sort of sentiment, just for in the nonprofit sector.
And there has to be something in it for them. They well, have
hardly.
To do it.
It doesn't have to be thousands
right.
of dollars.
Right.
It could be hundreds of dollars.
And it helps them.
Right.
And it
right.
helps them to help us get people who are already active, people
right.
who are used to coming to meetings, people who are used to sharing
right.
their information already, versus some people who have real fears on immigration
right.
and
exactly.
aren't coming out even to their doctor.
Right?
Right.
right.
So I think it would help us get the ball rolling
yeah.
in a different direction.
Yeah, so I agree. So I think that's great. So we've talked about priorities, milestones, progress, and measures. So we kind of blended both of those things. So the
right.
big Gantt chart with the milestones, and we can adjust the timelines, you
right.
know, for that, I think would be helpful. And then each committee blows out their Gantt chart, and, you know,
right.
a lot of it's program committee, a lot of it is.
It's
and,
very heavy in the program committee.
You know, you've got you and Donna, and you guys need... You know, any other resources, bring that back to the finance committee or whatever.
We won't know until the program committee gives us guidance on once we're prepared to really change the structure of how we do it. Because right now our grants is open door policy. So basically it's feast or famine on request. And there's no guidance, there's no, Jeremy, remember we did the community engagement policy, and the whole purpose of that was to bring opportunities for nonprofits to come together. I was saying, look, this is what we're trying to push. This is what we want to measure. A, is it realistic? And B, let's all talk about how we can make this actually happen. So we create an opportunity for conversation to take place. So actually it's the nonprofit saying, if you really want to move this, this is what's going to work. So then an RFP process would be designed based on that community engagement. So basically, instead of the nonprofit chasing after the dollars, let's just say, and be part of the conversation of what we're trying to get and let them tell us what needs to happen to make that work.
And this is like, right, working off of this.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And this is like the UniHealth model. So they would put up their initiatives and then people, right, that was it. If it wasn't on their list, don't bother.
Yep.
And so then it was competitive bidding and, you know, we could listen to three or four and you might end up giving everything to one, you might end up giving a little bit to each, but having that community input is important. But we don't want people who are going to be getting the grants have that community input. So that's a big question we have for who's going to fill in
the program. Not on program committee, but the having the community input at the with the service providers was an opportunity for us to put forth, okay, we don't want to see all these silos entities. You know, do what you do excellent and do it even more so and figure out how you're going to expand without necessarily taking that role on yourself. Who else is out there that could potentially take that on? So to build out that RFP, it was based on giving them a platform that was safe to all think about how they could work together, which would ultimately, based on the scoring structure, would score them higher, which ultimately would get them more funding.
Yeah, so if we can do that with the brand,
right,
of our overall strategic programs,
right,
to improve overall wellness or thriving or whatever we want to call it,
right,
in the community, I think that would help the district.
Maybe we should.
Do you want to talk about the brand and,
sure,
where we're at with that?
So last month, we recall that we contracted with Leap Marketing, a local firm, to provide branding services for us. So they've come up with some logo and tagline options. There are three logos. The first one is variations in color, and the tagline is also in variations.
Maybe talk a little bit about the process they went through and.
Yes, so we met with them a few times just to talk about, for us here, how important it is to convey to the community. That is, while respecting our history, it is a new district in a sense, expanding with a different demographic, a much larger population. And so they took that in mind. They talked to different nonprofit leaders in the community and asked them what they thought about the current logos. A lot of people talked about the tower not really representing the valley and the future. They really associated it with Palm Springs.
Yeah.
So they pretty much decided the tower is a thing of the past that we very much respect, but we wanted to go forward into the future. So this very first one, and I believe they have descriptions on the page as well, is what you're seeing.
I flipped through them already.
Oh.
I got my pick. I don't know that I'm here. But yeah, I mean, it's easy to look, it's easy to see, so.
Do you, what is your pick? Do you, that one?
Yeah, that's the best one.
Why do you
it's
like that
one?
It's
got people in it, of different colors.
It definitely has people, it says, yeah, diversity.
Yeah, and it's very distinctive. These are busy and not distinctive. This one is pretty, but it doesn't really say healthcare, it's just, it could be, it belong to anything, but this one, mm-hmm, as the people compelling it, I love it. I would add green instead of the red,
mm-hmm,
or play with that a little bit, because I think red is a little bit
it's jarring.
Danger signal.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I don't mind having red here, but you want to have it.
Have it in the name. Same thing.
I don't mind having red here, but in the name,
in
I
name.
Would put green or something else. Or, yeah.
So that's my color. My question, once we, or the committee, and take it to the board, determines which one they're going to use, these are going to be our colors that are be associated with the district, such as now we have the gold and the blue.
Yeah.
A whole brand? They'll
the
be
whole
creating
branding,
a whole
everything.
Branding.
Yeah. Oh, this is beautiful. I mean, I'm not going to boast, but I've won awards for multiple American Hospital Association, American Heart Association.
Yeah.
So this is great.
Okay.
This is really great.
Karen, what do you think?
What do you think, Karen?
None of them stand out, but definitely not the first three. You know, the simple doesn't really mean anything. Out of the last two, definitely the one that Jennifer pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't look very serious. and then the font type, I don't know what, and I don't
you
know.
You can play with the font type. I like the concept, but they can play with it some more.
Yeah, I don't know if we're trying to be this serious direction. Or not, but yeah.
This direction, yeah. It may not, it's not perfect yet, but are you good with this direction, like with the people in it, versus?
I like the mountains, I like the desert scape piece of it, but I also, yeah, people, right, we're here for people. So
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So it could be that somehow underneath there's a sun-like beam or something. Anyway, I like the people piece of it. But
okay.
You guys, they can play with it some more. These other ones didn't touch me at all.
And onto the colors.
This is pretty. Mm-hmm. It really is very pretty. But unless there's a person in it or something, I like the colors.
But it doesn't say health.
I like the colors.
Health and wellness.
Reminds me of the beach.
Yeah, it just doesn't say much about
far from home.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think your point about whether or not it's serious, like we can certainly play with the font. I think they were going for accessibility because there are so many different people in the district and they wanted it to be accessible to more people. All right.
Yeah, that's a good start. So the taglines?
There are basically two, some variations on the words, whether we use Coachella Valley or community. And we felt that advancing is really, when you asked the question earlier about who are we going to be in 10 years, I think advancing really speaks to taking ownership. We are advancing health and wellness in the community.
I like advancing better than connecting.
So yeah. Right.
And connecting is currently in our vision statement, which...
Right. I think we need to advance the health and wellness of the community.
Instead of Coachella Valley, community.
Yeah, because it could be a Coachella Valley, but...
I think communities, you do get a lot of people from, like, Arizona coming in, right?
Right, and so advancing healthcare of our community, advancing health of our community.
Okay.
Do you want to call it just health?
The more words you have, the less powerful your
right, exactly. Is,
you know? And so I was part of, like, I was at Kaiser, and I worked for the executive vice president of the health plan when we were developing the county.
Right.
And that was one of the most successful advertising campaigns. It was one word, and it said so much. So I look at the district and the Coachella as I want us to be seen as the flag.
So
that's what I'm trying to create.
Right. So advance, when we put wellness instead of health in that, so when they did the listening sessions down in the East, the moment you put in the word health, basically everybody's going, hospital, doctors, things like that. They didn't think of it beyond that. So,
yeah. Well, I like wellness, yeah.
So that's kind of what we're thinking is wellness. So it was more like you're saying is in this initiative is live well. It's everything. It's not just the medical. Yes, that's our driving force behind us, but we know there's all these other moving components.
So we could just say live well, you know, and like San Diego has living well, San Diego, but we could just say live well or live well, Coachella. Those are other ways to look at it.
Okay, so we should definitely go back and play with the colors and maybe the font of that one logo. Do we present? Do we
at
come back to this committee or?
Yeah, okay. The board.
Okay.
And so, what are your thoughts of having district and foundation in the same?
Well, the board did approve that at the last.
I know that.
Here's why. Because what they told us at LEAP was when they were doing make phone calls around that, district is so like finite and like boundaries and things like that. And so that's why they're trying to play off, you know, thinking more foundation. That
can we change the name legally?
District.
Can we go through a process and change it to like Desert Healthcare Agency or Desert Healthcare? Do we have to have district in our name?
I think so
because under the health safety code it references districts.
Okay, so you have
special district. I think they all have district in their names.
Do they?
Yeah, they all do.
Okay.
Right. Sure. But that's why they wanted to put the foundation and being the last word kind of so play down the district and hopefully bring up the foundation side.
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't have to even be bold, it can just be really light. What do you think?
And the challenge is then when you have healthcare, people are going to assume it's a hospital.
It's a healthcare and don't care.
Yeah, I'm okay with district and foundation. Disaster, district and foundation.
Yeah. I'm just, is it now, is it time, could we challenge and just have it? Because we're, when we talk about health, what does healthcare mean, are all the districts that are healthcare districts called something healthcare district?
Yeah. Just like school districts and cemetery district.
Or health right. district, but district is usually.
Well, health district is better than healthcare district. So that's what I'm saying. Can we?
I'll check.
Desert
health.
All
called.
Right. You know, so there's nothing stopping you going down the path, like you're saying. So maybe what you do is you create a tag for the Desert Healthcare District. And then when you're ready to embark on a movement, you give that movement its own look and feel. Because, and I don't, it'd be good to hear your thoughts. One of the things when Lift to Rise was first being designed, they actually brought in a marketing firm from LA that's done this all over. And it was under the pretense of, I'm going to use building healthy communities as an example. You don't want an entity to, if you really want to create a cultural shift, you can't have the entity own it. The community has to own it. It has to be theirs. So it gets passed down from generation to generation. So maybe in what you're saying is we create something that shows the overarching initiative, but then when you're really ready to build that strategy out, you give it its own community look and feel and let the community tell you, this is what we want. You know, that might be a way to achieve what you're saying is get past the harshness of district and healthcare limitations.
Yeah, and this could be sponsored by
right.
this organization.
Right, and what you could do is tie that the new logo to this initiative based on these color schemes.
So we don't need a tagline in here per se.
We really felt...
I don't think we need a tagline.
Right.
We want to keep it bold and simple. And then...
But what do we do between now and the time of really that board evolving to that road? Because we've got a brand new website coming out. We've got significant growth in social media. Like, I wonder if we need something, though, to kind of, or like, to give them a sense of something else is coming. Like, so how are you going to advance it? This is the initiative.
Well, we could lead our branding campaign with that and say a Desert Healthcare District and Foundation Initiative and have this be underneath. So we can lead it. Mm-hmm. So whatever that word is, like whether it's Life Let's Thrive. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to say we're launching a movement. It's a community movement. We're
right.
going to get behind it, but we're going to help, you know, support it. Because we have this, we have a one-time opportunity to do this. We've just expanded. It's now One Coachella.
Yeah.
One Coachella to Palm Springs?
No, it means nothing.
Yeah.
No, we knew that for sure. What if it was just advancing wellness?
But what kind of word could we use that would get people, that would say to the community what we're trying to achieve? You know, as we try to think about one or two words that we're helping to push up, but like the Sun telling,
right.
like the Sun would put it, that they would own it, a piece of it. You know, that it's a, you know, I don't want to put it underneath because I don't want it to look at it. I like the idea as a community thing.
Mm-hmm.
We know, it's not going to happen unless we do it.
For instance, like Desert Care Network, I particularly care for theirs, Health Bloom.
Health loops, yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know, so something like that, you know, health, it doesn't even have to be health, it's
mm-hmm.
just, it could be called Better Communities, Thriving Community.
Thriving is being used, but Lift to Rise, that's
yeah,
right
Thrive
in there,
is
so
like
Thrive
Kaiser.
Is already there in Kaiser. What was Building Healthy Communities one?
Prosperous.
Because building up the communities has kind of been taken in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would,
yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
you go down anywhere near building healthy communities.
And that's why they had to rebrand to Alianza because the people in the community didn't come up with building healthy communities.
Exactly. They didn't
they
own
to
it.
Them and then.
Right.
Can we ask
later.
The marketing firm? I mean, do we have funding that we can ask them to come up with some equivalent word that
Other creative ones.
Right, I mean, creating the tagline is part of that, so they could definitely work with that and just come up with a word that better represents the movement.
Yeah, if you just rhyme, if you do a thesaurus, what comes up?
Prosper, flourish, succeed, blossom, bloom, be healthy, grow well.
I like be healthy.
Be healthy.
Be well.
Be well.
How does be healthy translate?
I think it is, but...
It's too flat.
Well, it's kind of judging me that I'm not already healthy.
Right, that's exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, that's it. We've got to be really careful on the translation of it. If you're
live well, how about
live well is already taken. That's United Way. Yeah. Advancing. So to advance something in Spanish, it's to move forward. It's to.
How about prosper?
That's why I was just thinking prosper.
What is prosper?
Prosperar.
Yeah.
Prospera, yeah.
Prosper is a word that encompasses everything.
Prospera.
Prospera.
Prospera bien, prospera con salud.
Right, so it'd be basically, how do we, right, that's basically lifting, right?
Yeah.
It's taking it from what it is and moving it upwards.
I know the connotation for me, though, it has more to do with economy and those sorts of...
But all of those things, living well improves the economic outcome, which, you know, everybody wants a better life for the future.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want it to mean that we're making more money, but everybody kind of seeks.
That's my only concern also, is we don't have policy in place exactly how the $300,000 is going to be spent, et cetera, et cetera. We haven't even crossed the bridge yet of 300,000 in the East versus 3.5 million in the West.
I'm already talking to Meany's office. We're gonna put forward the strategy again to try to split it.
But we've got to figure out how we get past that hump. Because
I think it'll be a done deal by the time we get our branding campaign fixed.
Our branding, we're getting ready to release the website by April 1st. Can you work that fast?
I think we can.
Okay.
What's the Spanish word for strengthening communities or stronger communities? Mm. Or because that sort of speaks to health as well.
Yeah.
As,
what is stronger? Let's do
let's see, stronger.
Empower, but don't use the
thing. No.
I don't think it's anything that we're looking for, like enduring, substantial.
If we put prospering, what happens? This is the way it's done, by the way, and all the marketing firms sit around and just do this.
Yeah.
And then they're, like that one.
So prosper is like progress, bloom, blossom, flourish, yeah. Thrive, advance.
Advance.
Produce, increase, benefit.
We could say prosper and flourish.
Hey.
Fortaleza saludable. I don't know how to translate that over.
Prosper and flourish.
Yeah.
Flourish and prosper. Flourish doesn't have the economic issues that you're concerned about.
Yeah.
So flourish.
That's a good one.
What is flourish? What's the definition of flourish?
Well, when I put in Google prosper and flourish, it says, is that flourish is to thrive or grow while prosper is to favor, to render successful.
So
to thrive.
Prosper.
To grow.
I guess so.
See, what I like about this starting kind of smaller and getting bigger, that's another way to convey that we're improving in a way, you know. So even though it's subliminal, you know, it's kind of like we're taking something and making more of it.
Right.
And that's what the district is doing, is we want to be the leader, we want to take something and make it more.
Right.
Make it meaningful.
Mm-hmm. And it was also presented to us by LEAP as the purple person being the district and the smaller ones being the people that we work with.
All support. So,
yeah, yeah.
That's another way to look at it, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is a little bigger than others. I didn't notice.
So we want, instead of advancing community, we want one or two words that are going to
prosper, flourish, or
okay.
flourish and thrive, but not saying thrive, because thrive is really a, I mean, it's very
right, okay, yeah, so
touchy.
We can definitely
so
work on that.
Thrive with health, prospera con salud, very nice, I'm sure it's not taken.
Prospera.
Like, thrive with health. It's
thrive through health, or?
Through health.
Is there a Spanish word for wellness? Overall, well-being?
Well-being is a good one. I like well-being.
I'm still stuck on advancing.
I think it's, like, as I said earlier, that's really strong in terms of we are taking leadership.
Because
advancing.
We can't control somebody's
advancing
wellness.
What? Advancing.
Well, that's the beauty of it, is advancing well-being, advancing wellness, advancing something, because we can lay the path, but you have to travel it with us. Mm-hmm. So we're thinking forward, we're planning, so that's all about building that path for
yeah.
it, but it's choice.
But what's the word after advancing? What do you think?
Well-being would work.
It doesn't flip off your tongue.
No, it's too, yeah.
I still like wellness. I think
yeah.
it sounds really broad, but at the same time, it sort of leaves it open to all the different things
right.
that the district can do and will
right.
do.
Because wellness is different to you than it is to me.
Right.
Right? So the nice thing about keeping it broad is we could say publicly, we know no two people are the same in our community. Everybody's very unique, and that's why. You know, we're keeping our, you know,
yeah.
our strategies broad to, you know, advance all walks of life.
So some other words that popped up was like progress, promote, propel, achieve, accelerate, launch.
Can you guys come up?
Elevate.
Elevate is good.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Advancing stuff, and then some other ones which prosper.
So maybe,
okay.
So we'll bring this to the board meeting, and then maybe a couple, we'll send them to you first, but then just a couple of taglines.
I think we need to have another meeting and then kind of just come to the board and say, here's the recommendation.
Okay.
We don't have to, the committees have to really just start coming like, here it is, and we expect that the,
right.
with very little discussion that the committee works through all those issues and the boards are going to decide. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to have another committee meeting if we need to before the board meeting, but we have a lot to go on the board meeting. I don't want to sit and have a long discussion about.
No, I just want to set Will up because April 1st is our you know, start date for our new website to meet all our guidelines, for our accreditation, everything. And so what we choose here sets the stage for the website.
Right.
They're already working on all the behind the scenes things, but color scheme, everything.
I think this, if you guys update this with a few things, we can still work on our tag, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they can insert that maybe later.
Okay.
But are you good with that? Are you
mm-hmm.
good with that? Okay. And then we can just say to the board, just, you know.
Give them something and then tell them the rest of them.
Yeah, but can we, do you want to have another committee meeting before the board meeting? Next week, we can do it at 5:30. Can it get back in a week? Well, the board meeting is actually next week already, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the following week. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can get back in a week, yeah.
Maybe by next Thursday or something?
Oh, definitely. I think so. I mean, I haven't spoken
it gives
that,
us a
I
chance
so.
To weigh in, too.
Yeah, I definitely think by Thursday. Next Thursday, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
So it has to be in the package by next Thursday.
Say, for wanting
right.
the package.
So it's got to be in the package by Thursday, so we would have the meeting by Wednesday.
Okay.
So for wanting it in the package, which I
yeah.
think in all fairness.
I mean, I love, see these colors are beautiful colors too, or pastels, but these are really nice.
Right.
It's just that color is inviting to people.
Right.
It's playful and.
It's a good place.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you for your work, you guys. So, anyway, I'm glad we have a strategic planning committee.
And I'm glad you're all thinking we have kind of a good direction for where to kind of go. And then we can go to San Diego or not. It's open to me. I'm open either way. So,
so you want to look at an evening meeting next week?
As long as it's open to the public, would the board have actually to be present? Committing?
Oh, I'm open next week any day.
Any day?
Yeah.
Just have to be in the district.
Tuesday?
Right.
In Palm Desert? Would be ideal.
Tuesday in Palm Desert?
Yeah, after 5:30.
All right.
Tuesday.
Tuesday after 5:30. Well, do you think they can pull it off by then?
We'll know by tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said Tuesday after 5:30?
Yeah, I could do that.
Like, six. I'm down. I'll be at the United Way, which is like
around the corner.
Minutes away from where. Yeah. So
five. And we're just gonna do the lower stuff, right?
That's it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So usually Thursday, the 21st.
And then on the milestone, I mean, just think of like big, like goals.
Yeah. No, I'm just gonna go like you said. I'm just gonna go the outcomes. But I think what I will do is I'll have Chris email you where I think okay. This outcome that's in the strategic plan is way too out there, and so maybe you can give it some guidance.
Put it off is a long-term goal.
Well, some of them are just, the strategy's better than the outcome.
We don't have really strong, I wasn't happy with our outcomes, to be honest. We don't have really strong measurable outcomes. We didn't get that far. Okay. This is our first, I'm talking about like we're gonna improve diabetes by, or we're going to reduce, homelessness or build how many homes or whatever. I'd like to see us get to that place.
So why don't we create tips and you can take a look at it using more of the strategies, the high-arching strategy rather than the outcomes.
That's probably
right.
Whatever you think.
Yeah.
Just something that is visual that we can tie it and then
it's more measurable.
They can go, this quarter we're working on these three things and here's what we've achieved. Okay. So you guys get the support you need.
Okay.
And everybody kind of knows what's going on. You know, nobody's surprised. That's all I care about.